We've got a big guest. Welcome to Community News. My name is Paul.
And my name is Sasha.
Hello there, Sasha. How are you today?
Oh my gosh, Paul, I am so excited. I mean, you can see how I am. For the first time since COVID, I've put on a bra and makeup because we have a special guest today.
I know, you never get dressed up for me. Not that I don't mind the braless look and everything, but it is nice of you to see you dressed up. So we just let our people, everybody know, we're taping this on Saturday, so I'm not going to comment on the snow that's coming tomorrow, which is going to be a pain in the ass. We all know it. The Super Bowl is tomorrow. We have no idea who won when this is taping, when this airs on Tuesday, but I'm sure it was a great game either way. I'll probably sleep through. I'll be asleep by the third quarter. So anyway.
I'm sure I'm not watching it like I never do, unless I have a boyfriend playing in it.
Exactly. So anyway, let's get to our special guest. Sasha, the iTeam has done it once again. You have made a dream of mine come true. One of my all-time favorites.
A dream of yours and a dream of mine.
I know.
Both of ours.
I know. Well, thank you on behalf of both of us then. On behalf of you and behalf of me. We thank you. One of your many personalities. So anyway, without further ado, here he is. You want to go ahead, Sasha? You found him.
Okay, you guys. You know how much Paul and I love to talk about the shows we grew up watching and how much we loved our television shows. Well, this is a character from one of our absolutely favorite shows and one of our favorite characters. He's making family ties. We've got Mark right here today with us, right here in Townsport for you guys.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
It is my pleasure to visit with you from the West Coast. I dare say during the winter, the best coast.
Yes.
We are in beautiful Anza Borrego State Park right now, which is just, I guess you would call it east of San Diego and just west of like Yuma and Arizona and stuff like that.
Nice. Well, you might make Paul cry because Paul can't handle New York and the snow and the Northeast in the winter. So you can't rub it in too much because I don't want Paul to need a lot of medication.
I slipped outside last night in the back of a pickup truck, just to give you an idea of how beautiful it is here.
Oh, right, that's amazing. Wow.
Course, this particular destination would be unlivable during the summer, of course, but just this time of year, it's perfect. And then the springtime, they get the wildflowers.
I love that you're making the most of COVID and doing like road trips to cool state parks and sleeping outside.
I started with you guys like on the radio, believe it or not, all these years of being a guest on the radio.
Yeah.
When COVID hit, I was on tour in 2019. I did 50 cities around the United States.
That's freaking amazing.
2020 began. I was doing the same kind of thing, heading towards another 50. And we had toured North Carolina and a few other places. And I was in Florida. And the March 7th, something like that, COVID kind of, what was the exact day? I forget, but it was the day that everybody, when basketball
March,
shut down.
I think it was March 12th, because March
NBA,
10th.
When the NBA shut down, the entire country
that
went,
was it.
Oh,
yeah.
Shite.
Crazy.
This and is so real.
So have you started doing the state park tour since, or was that something you always did in your free time? Camping.
So specifically before I started doing any state parks or whatever, I was in Florida and they asked me at this radio station, because I just played Augustine in Daytona, and the radio station in Daytona said, hey, if you're not going to continue the tour, why don't you stay and do like an 80s radio show with us?
How fun.
That's cool.
And so for the first time ever, I'd been a guest all these years. I actually for about 50 episodes, 5 days a week. I did the morning.
Nice.
It was the kind of the afternoon show, but for me, it was my morning. But
I wish I could hear that because we love 80s music. Paul and I are stuck in the 80s.
Well, it was a blast. We had some great 80s guests on, and I really enjoyed the process, if you will.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
And so I went back to LA after that wrapped, and then instead of staying in the city of LA, which is just, as you know, the COVID numbers are crazy, but also the homeless situation.
Oh, the homeless situation is really bad.
The population, I've been there for long enough now, and I know there's people that were there a lot before me, and I don't feel like it's anybody's, I don't want to suggest that people aren't allowed to come to Hollywood anymore. I get it.
Right.
I came to Hollywood. Everybody came to Hollywood. It was like coming to America. Everybody did it at some point.
Yep, we went to Hollywood,
me too.
But the thing is, it was just too much. It was again, everyone's angry, and it just feels like not the same town. So I get out, and I've been going during COVID. I can't do comedy shows, so why not get away from people and be out in the middle of nowhere? I came down from my camp spot right now to get a connection with you guys. So you'll hear some off-road vehicles behind me because in the section of the camp where they have the...
Where you are. Well, so are you there alone or with a friend, or do you have kids you're with?
Right. So, I go alone, and sometimes friends come in to meet me and stuff like that.
That's great. That's so perfect.
Great, too. Like, I'd be scared to go alone. I'd be scared of, like, crazy people.
Well, again, people ask me that all the time, and I say, the city is much scarier for that.
That's true. That is true. The past couple of years that I've gone, I go back and forth to LA, and I was in San Francisco 2 years ago, and literally every viaduct had a tent city underneath it, which, it's just sad. It's fucking tragic to see.
Just going to 7-Eleven is definitely more dangerous than being out in the middle of nowhere. Although, I get it. And people go, what about bears and all that? I go, oh, no. The crack guy in front of 7-Eleven, way scarier than the bear.
Scarier. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you're just be careful, because we don't want to
lose you. Statistically. Yeah. There's a podcast called Park Predators.
Oh.
And it takes all the cases of all the...
And it
really gets into the nitty-gritty of it. And I kind of listen to it sometimes, like ghost stories out in the middle of my park.
You listen to it while you're out there, though?
Sometimes. It's kind of fun, like ghost stories. It kind of creeps you out a little bit. It's fun.
You're gutsy. I could listen to it home in my safe house, but I don't think I could listen to it while I'm actually out there camping.
So, wow.
So where else have you gone? Do you just stay primarily in the LA area, or are you venturing outside of California at this point? What's going on?
Well, since the pandemic began, I stay pretty close to home, so I can go home if I need to. And
right.
So I've been finding places that are just within a few hours, 3 to 4 hours out or whatever. But I did the forest first, and then I did a set of the desert, which is gorgeous, called the Alabama Hills. It's outside of Lone Pine, California. From LA, it's on the way to Mammoth or on the way to Tahoe. Nice. Off the 395. A lot of this means nothing to a lot of people, but it's the Eastern Sierras.
It means it to us, so that's all that matters.
Right, exactly.
It's particularly gorgeous there. It's really amazing, and I'd driven through town without ever going and exploring what they call the Alabama Hills, which is just a couple of miles behind Lone Pine. So again, I've gone through Lone Pine maybe, who knows how many times, it seems like a million times, but I've never done this, and it was really spectacular. It's one of my favorite places. It's where they shot all the old Western movies.
Oh, so cool. Yeah. I've done the drive from LA to Mammoth, and I think we stopped at Lone Pine. That's that really like Western town, right? Where you can eat. I think that's what it was called, or maybe it was just some town we stopped at, but I've never done what you're doing. I've never gone off that path. So that would be cool to see. That's good though. You sound very upbeat. We've been on, our show's been on for 3 years, and we've been on every week since COVID. And we had our weeks where we were both like almost suicidal, but you sound very happy in COVID. You sound like you're making the most of it.
I think getting outside into nature has been a good idea. And I'm able to do it, Remember, yeah. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. That's why I still have all my hair. I've never really had a time in my life before where I could have this kind of time.
Good for you. Smart way to use it. I didn't know if you had kids or not. So Paul, my partner here, he has 2 children. And he was, when we started this show, he was a stay-at-home dad with 2 kids in college. But now, I'll let him tell you his scenario.
But now both kids have moved at home, which means I now have to walk around clothed instead of naked all the time like I used to, which is a big bummer. But 2 kids have moved back into the house at this point. But actually,
but
one is
also like Paul is also not married. But
right.
Out of the 3 of us on here right now, he's probably the only one involved in a relationship. So, Paul, tell him your scenario.
Right. So I was married, divorced. And then I am now living back with my ex-wife and my 2 kids, although we're not married again. We're not getting married again.
Oh,
ever.
It's a sitcom.
It's my ex-wife.
And this is his real life. But they're back together. They're not just living together. They actually first started living together as roommates for finances, whatever, or to be close to the kids. And then that reemerged a relationship. So they are actually in a relationship, But not married. So I call her.
Well, we're married. We're married when it's convenient to be married. You know, for like frequent flyer miles, we're married and things like that, we're married. But other than that, we're not married.
Isn't that wild?
It's like the new Brady Bunch.
Right.
But anyway, so let's talk about part of what made us think of you. And I hope you don't take this as an insult. It's really a compliment. A couple shows ago, we got into a debate about which is the better peanut butter, Skippy or Jif. And we had thousands of responses from our viewers, and almost everyone voted Skippy. And Paul is a Skippy person. And I said, immediately when I hear Skippy, I think of you. That's my first association for Skippy. And I feel like it's a compliment, not a
compliment. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just the rebel in me. I buy Jif.
Do you?
Really? Oh, my God.
I always wanted that to be the campaign, too. I thought, you know. But Skippy
that just
buys
made
Jif.
All day.
But there's a little bit of a backstory to this. So back in the day when the show was on the air and everything was hot and people were calling me Skippy all the time and everything, my managers, I had pretty sharp, they were kind of not normal managers, but they were comedy writers and they had some genius. And so one of the things we did was contact the Skippy Peanut Butter Company, you know, to try to set something up. We came up with campaigns and ideas for it and stuff.
Yep.
And they couldn't be any less interested any quicker. And there was a story, there's a history behind it and why. And it has to do with the name Skippy is something that there's been copyright issues the entire time for that peanut butter.
Really?
Apparently Skippy was a comic book character.
No way.
And not just a comic book character, but one that they used on the original labels of Skippy peanut butter.
Oh, this is amazing trivia. I had no idea.
And so I don't know all the details anymore. I forget. But if you Google it, you can read the story. But, to this day, the family of the artist that, you know, created Skippy is fighting. Or maybe there was a settlement at some point or something. But it's that issue to the tune of they weren't interested.
That is hilarious. So they felt like it was infringing on their original Skippy character. But when I think of Skippy, I think of you. So I said to Paul, maybe we could get the real Skippy on the show, you know, after we had our peanut butter debate. And that is fascinating to hear. That makes sense why you would eat Jif, because if Skippy wouldn't play ball, F Skippy. But Paul loves
No, I have nothing against the company, really, I swear.
Yeah, of course, of course.
They called me, sometimes on the road, they called me Skippy with nuts. But when they say extra chunky, that's when I get offended.
Yeah, I don't like that moniker either myself.
So we don't want to keep you much longer, but any idea of when you're going to be able to go back out on the road? At this, and when I say out on the road, not camping out on the road, I mean entertaining out on the road again.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? You know, I did finish March 7th, I think, was my last show before they canceled that stuff. And I did three shows since then. One was a drive-in show, one was on the roof of a car wash. That's where I performed. I stood on the roof of a car wash.
That's amazing.
And the other one was outside, like in a parking lot for people sitting, you know, socially distanced in chairs and stuff.
Right.
So that's the question. Is April, May, June, the fall? Everyone's going for the fall. You can call theaters and book the fall now because Biden or somebody said something about October and things being back to normal. And that's the, you know, nobody really knows. But
nobody knows, right?
But the corporate position is, oh, things may or hopefully or likely will be comfortable by then.
Right. My feeling is once everyone's vaccinated, we still need to look at what's happening with the spread once we hit like 70% vaccination. Then we need to really see, are people not getting it at the rate they were? And then is it safe to be back indoors, you know? On a mic.
I don't even claim to have the beginning of the understanding of how any of that works.
Right. No, I just know as a person reading it. But I will say this to our Townport listeners, you know, Mark was.
I know, but that's just it. You read everything, right? You read every direction. I don't ever know what to really believe.
Right. It's absolutely. I try to read all the different left-leaning, right-leaning, middle-leaning, and then I try to figure it out from there. But I want to tell our Townport listeners that Mark Price was scheduled to appear at the Townport Country Playhouse as part of his 50-state tour. And since he had to cancel it because of COVID restrictions, we are thrilled we got to bring him to you today. But you guys should all keep an eye. Do you have a website that they can keep an eye on to know when you're performing again?
Well, we invite people over to Facebook to say hello. And I'm a few different things there. I'm Mark Skippy Price, and I'm Mark Price, and I have a personal page and a fan page and a group page. And then we started the group page during the pandemic to encourage everyone to help others and to celebrate people who are helping others. That's how we encourage others.
I love
and
that.
Yeah. So it's called The Hour of Love.
I didn't know about that.
You join the group on Facebook called The Hour of Love. And the idea is you just spend an hour doing something to help people out. I've got a little niche, which is that, you know, as an independent contractor or a gig worker, which is what you are when you're a stand-up comedian, I've never been eligible for unemployment before because that's not how it works, right? You pay into unemployment and that's how you get unemployment. But with this unusual circumstance, that's how I've been able to stay afloat this year. The unemployment is not a lot of money, but it's been enough to keep me going. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful for it. And so other comedians and other gig workers that aren't even aware that they're eligible, I've been helping them, you know, set that up. And
that's so cool of you.
Spending at least an hour a week helping people get to that.
That's
and
so nice
so
of you.
If there's something out there that you've done to help others, you can share it. A lot of people don't like to share it, you know, and that is, I get it, that part of charity, it's best to help people, not take credit for it, not want any credit for it, just help people selflessly. I get that. But here are the ideas that if we celebrate it, it encourages others to help too. And I don't think there's anything wrong with patting people on the back.
No,
I
like to do nice things for people, and I don't write about it per se, but I get the idea of doing it in a group so that it inspires other people to do more acts of kindness. That's really good.
Yeah. What can you do during COVID? It's not, you know, the normal situation like every day. So what, you know, how can you help people during COVID, specific COVID related things to help people? You know?
Right. Oh, I'm going to check out that page. I've never seen it before. And what about when people want to keep track of like where, once it all comes back, where they can buy tickets to see you? Is that on your Facebook Mark Price?
Yeah. So I should have it all set up. I should be really clear about it. I'm at Mark Price now on the Twitter.
Okay.
So that would be a good one for that. But I have to get my social media platforms together into a cohesive, you know.
I hear you. I know.
Here's where you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. What about one thing before we let you go is since we were big fans of the show, Paul, is there one question you would love to ask Skippy?
I got to get my platforms together so they can deplatform me.
Right.
You got to get
ready. They can't deplatform you if you don't have a platform. See, that's been my secret
that's
all along.
True. That's a good defense. The best defense.
You can't get canceled if you're no longer on the air.
That's true. That's why I've
tried
to never get really famous so that I won't get canceled. Paul, why don't you ask Skippy or Mark Price the one burning question you've always had about family ties? This is your chance.
All right. Here we go.
I'm so nervous.
Did it with Mallory.
No.
Okay, go ahead. What's
Does
your
everyone ask that?
That's my question.
Does everyone ask that?
No.
She is so beautiful.
You know what? It's not a question. It's more, you know what? I know everybody has seen this episode, but the Baby Boy Doe episode really is a great, I don't even know if you call it a sitcom episode. I think it's just a great half an hour of television, and I really want to commend you on it. I think it was really, really good and really well done. Really well done.
Super nice. That's the episode where my character finds out he's adopted and it deals with being adopted in America and such. And it was, so young. That was an early episode for me. That was just as I began working on the show.
Yeah.
And it probably helped lead to them going on to offer me a more regular status. You know, there was the first couple of seasons, I only did a handful of episodes.
Right.
And that was one.
Actually, I watched the clip back from that this morning, not even realizing that was one of your favorites, Paul, but the one where it was the mom clip where you're saying, you know, my mom rejected me. And he's like, your mom or Mrs. Handelman? Like, I didn't realize that was the same episode you were talking about, Paul. But one thing I will say is I was revisiting Family Ties all this week because we were going to talk to you. And I just wanted to, you know, be in that mood. And I said to Paul, you know, I loved the show. It was literally one of my favorite shows. But that was as a teenager. And I haven't seen it since then. And now I'm an adult and I've produced a lot of television and I've been a performer myself and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I was saying to Paul, looking at it now through my eyes now, I'm like, it was even better than I remember, because all those lessons, all that parenting, like I had not a good parenting situation at home. And I realized I watched that show to like feel like I had a mom and dad. Like we all wanted to be in that family, you know?
Which me, what about me? I didn't have a normal family situation. I got to live vicariously through it while being actually there in it.
Right. And I was going to say, your character and you, the person, got to do that as well. You know, like it was like,
a lot of stuff I did on TV that I didn't do in real life, you know, like go to the prom. Actually, I did go to a few proms, but not my prom. I didn't go to my prom, but I was a date at other people's proms. But on TV, I went to my prom. And on, you know, on TV, I went to college and blah, blah, blah.
So on that note, actually, that brings me to what my question would be. You are one of the really well-adjusted former child stars, I would say. And so what do you like attribute that to?
I say give it time. Look how long it took Charlie Sheen to self-destruct. hopefully I'll get the big hit series first.
I think you should give yourself a lot of credit.
The real answer to that question is that it seems like I was a child star because it was, you know, I was like 14. But I was really a teen, technically
a teen
star. And, right. And I was like this really crazy adult teen. My dad had been in show business his whole life and started when he was a teenager and lived alone very young and all that kind of stuff, was on the road and all that. And so he just, I don't know, he brought me up differently than a lot of kids were brought up. He brought me up the way that old show business brought up their kids, the way he was brought up, you know?
Yeah.
And so I actually was on my own when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
And so I was kind of a little adult, which gave me a little more perspective on things. I don't know. It just seems to me the kids that are, although, you know, there's also the other argument too, that kids, just a certain percentage of kids get messed up, whether they're showbiz kids or not. It's nothing to do with showbiz. But if you want to argue that showbiz helps lead to it, you could argue that being yesed all the time and sort of not ever experiencing the challenges of life the way that normal people do is what sort of sets you to the wrong angle right away.
Though, because I have a theory about it, because people always blame showbiz. And I say, I don't really blame showbiz. I actually think that a lot of it is not yourself and really not your co-stars, but a lot of it is that, unfortunately, a lot of the kids who end up on TV are really coming from really fucked up families with parents who are really like trying to turn their kid into a mortgage payment.
So, there's that. There's a lot of good families, too.
Trust me, for sure. But I feel
on our show, we had young Brian Bonzall, the little kid on our show. And he ran into some difficulties with the law and stuff. And he's a wonderful artist, actually. He plays punk guitar and plays beautiful guitar of all kinds, actually.
Oh, cool.
But he toured with a band called the Ataris, which the kids know this band. I don't know the Ataris. But the kids know the Ataris. And nobody came to see him because he was on Family Ties. They came to see him because he was the guitarist in the Ataris.
Right.
And so it's a good success story there. But he had trouble with the law and stuff, too.
Yeah.
But he's over it now, and he's a dad, and he's very happy. And his mom was great. His mom was really wonderful. In fact, his mom gets credit because Michael Jackson invited the little kid on our show when he was kid to Neverland Ranch.
Oh, no.
And wanted his mom to agree to it and sign a document that said it's okay that they would be alone together and all this stuff. And she didn't do it.
His mom was smart enough to say ixnay on that. That's
and he's grateful to her every day.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Thank you for not dropping me off at the ranch.
That's amazing. Well, I will say, you know, I know we have to wrap it up, but like for the most part, your show, maybe it's because Michael Gross and Meredith Baxter Burney were such good role models as parents too. But you guys had like, you all have your act together. Unfortunately, not like some of, you know, the other stars on other shows, which is sad. I'm not making fun of it. I actually find it really sad. You know, like no kid or teenager should be exploited to the point that, you know, some of the stuff that's gone on. So we're just happy that you have a happy, productive life.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like everyone, there's challenges and stuff. I'm not always happy, but I'm smiling right now. And it's great to talk to you. And next time we chat, we can talk a little bit about our showbiz family histories.
Yes.
And we can do a part two.
Your father hung out with my uncles.
Why don't we pick up and do another one some other time? And I'd love to come visit you guys at the Playhouse.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Can't wait to get to see you live again when you're up doing stand-up again.
Love your guts.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Thanks, all Mark. Right. Thanks for coming on.
Take care. Wow.
Wow. That was so much fun, Paul.
Unbelievable.
Was that Mark, like the best? That was Skippy maybe Price. The most exciting guest we've had in a year, the whole COVID.
That's insane. You can't see. Oh, you can see me smiling. I'm smiling. Yeah,
especially because you guys know who listen to our show, how much we love our TV shows from growing up. And that was just amazing to get to talk.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Anyway, I'm going to prepare for the snow, which is coming tomorrow. This is going to air on Tuesday. Hopefully we'll have power and be dug out. But I will talk to you in a week from Tuesday, so in 10 days.
And I am going to go and prepare for the Super Bowl tomorrow, which basically means I am going to do whatever I would normally do that has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. And I will see you next Tuesday, Paul.
Always a pleasure. Take care, Sasha.
Okay, bye. We love you, community.
Bye-bye.